Welcome back, 1248, final segment of Friday, final segment of Paul Prydecker's Squawk 1200 for this week.
It's been fun working with you, Fareed. Look forward to another year.
We're saying our goodbyes now, so we have plenty of time to talk to Kevin LaRosa, the second Hollywood stunt pilot and aerial coordinator. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys. Pleasure to be here.
Yes. You've done over 100 films with various roles, some acting, as I've seen, you know, looking up your filmography. What do you like as a stunt pilot, and what do you like? What do you enjoy about it?
I think the creativity. You know, I come from an aviation background and a filmmaking background. Third generation pilot. My dad was an aerial coordinator and stunt pilot. But I love helping to turn storyboards into reality. That's a really cool thing. And the more practical flying, the more aircraft we can get on feature films and TV and less CGI, the happier I am.
I'm sure there's some variability in this, but there has to be a lot of planning and choreography and figuring this out. I'm guessing you don't just get in and go.
Not at all. There's a lot of work. We say months of planning, you know, weeks of hardcore prep and then shooting. It's prep hard and shoot easy is what we look for. And there's something I like to say, you know, the term stunt comes into play. Mm-hmm. I feel like what we do for a living is very non-standard. We land on trains with helicopters and fly under bridges and do weird things. And yeah, that's stunt flying, but it's so well choreographed and it's so planned. And it's, you know, the FAA works with us and sanctions everything we're doing. We use our movie manuals and our waivers. By the time we actually get out there and do it, it's so highly controlled that it, to me, it's not a stunt.
Well, it's a bit like the air shows out here. I'm sure, yeah, for the general population that maybe don't have an aviation background and they look up and see what's going on, they think, oh my gosh, this looks unsafe, but it's not.
It's so, I mean, I feel more unsafe when I'm just cruising around my own little super decathlon. The time we're on set, all the people we have involved, all the professionals, it's super straightforward and it's well planned.
You mentioned FAA waivers. That has to be part of the process for some of this, right?
Absolutely. So interesting enough, if there's an aircraft that's going to be seen on camera or fly a camera, if it's going to be within 500 feet of non-participants, so the general public or people not involved, you have to use a waiver. And the FAA gives you a set of guidance and limitations and provisions that let us protect the general public and then also protect those people within that 500-foot bubble.
Talk a little bit about step one through, as best you can, you know, step one, the director or the producers want to have a specific shot. They're showing you the storyboards. Before you can actually start burning the fuel, which is where it really becomes expensive, What are some key details that you're looking at?
Great question. One of my jobs as an aerial coordinator, we don't always have ourselves in the limelight. My job is to bring in the right people for the right job and put them in the right spot. We build a team, and every team is going to be different depending on what we're doing. So when I first get those storyboards and the creative talk, we say, hey, okay, I need an MD-500 Little Bird, and it's going to be doing this activity, and I'm going to bring in the best people for the job, and that's how we build our team. And then we get the right assets, so the right helicopter, the right camera gear, and we put that together. And that happens a month out typically, and that's what makes the job successful, those little things.
So you've got an amazing background and ability to do this because you see both sides of it, right? You're on, you know, the filmography side, the flying part. But do you get into situations where people responsible for the film want to do something and you just say, yeah, we can't do that?
Absolutely. So, in my opinion, the number one most important quality of an aerial coordinator is the ability to say no, and then suggest an alternate way to do it, which is still going to be dynamic and cool, but it's going to keep us safe. With Top Gun Maverick, it's a perfect example. We had to push the limits of the camera systems, the aircraft, and the people to the very limit without crossing the line and compromising safety, and that's where we lived.
We're speaking with Kevin LaRosa II. He's a Hollywood stunt pilot and aerial coordinator. As you spoke about, it's not stunt pilot is a kind of a misnomer. It's highly planned. So I'm just going to list a couple of films, and I just want you to pick some tidbits out that you want to say, you know, I had this challenge to do this or that. We're not asking you to dish about actors. We're more interested in some specific challenges to some of these films. You don't have to do for everyone, but so you've worked on Iron Man, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. It's a TV show. I really enjoyed it. Bourne Ultimatum, 1/6 Right, which is very cherished in the aviation community, that documentary. Ant-Man, Zero Dark 30, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
All fun projects. 1-6 right, I'll start there, was a cool one. Brian Terwilliger, who's a dear friend of ours, he was here at EAA Air Venture. That was my dad who did most of the camera flying in that movie, and I'm actually pictured as a student pilot. Funny enough, I was a commercial pilot by the time we shot it, but that's a movie that's near and dear to us too, because Van Nuys is my home airport.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some of the other ones you mentioned, Jack Ryan, you know, I got to fly a C-130 with a company I love, TBM Inc. They fly a couple of old A models. Lucky enough to get SIC typed in one, so we use that a lot for the movie work. But, you know, we're throwing real, you know, rib boats out of the back of it and operators jumping out and chasing the boat. So some of the flying we do is highly authentic and realistic. And that's always fun to put together.
I was thinking before we started the interview that I was going to ask you this question about, did you just wake up one day and say, this is what I'm going to do? But it sounds like you were born into it.
I had no other, it's exactly what I wanted to do. You know, as a kid, you know, we always see kids flying little toy model airplanes,
oh, yeah,
making noises. Yeah. I was the kid that held the video camera flying the airplanes because I grew up on movie sets watching my dad, and I absolutely love the art of moving the camera. I mean, really what I am is I'm a dolly driver. I call myself a meat servo at the lowest, you know, possible level, but I have an aerial director of photography sitting behind me, and he's directing me where he needs to go to be able to compose that shot. And it's my job to put them in the right spot, and that's really fun.
Let's talk platforms. Some of the, you know, some are what we know as business jets, and some may be piston aircraft. And what are the typical ones you put cameras on, and what are some interesting ones you put cameras on?
The two jets that I'm using right now mainly are the L-39 Cinejet, which is a platform that I dreamt up and rendered up in 2016 specifically for Top Gun Maverick. And then the other one is a Phenom, which is a business jet,
oh, yeah.
Phenom 300. Mm-hmm. My friend Jonathan Sabano owns that and modified it to fly the shot over Gimbal. Also use that on Top Gun. So they're the two main jet platforms right now. And then the helicopter is the Airbus H-125. Just a fantastic camera platform.
If you just want to go out and have fun flying, is it in your Super Decathlon or you have another fun machine?
I got my Super Decathlon when I was on the movie Devotion up in the Northwest, and I fell in love with this little airplane that was for sale. I just love stick and rudder flying, and everything I get to do in the movie business is fun. It's exciting. A lot of different aircraft, but there's nothing better than putting your Bose headset on and playing music and going out and doing aerobatics. That's just true stick and rudder. That's my meditation.
I wanted to ask you about Devotion because there's a lot of good buzz about this film. And I just tell me a little bit about your involvement and what you enjoyed about it.
I got reached out to by the Black Label Media team. And they basically called me and Michael Fitzmaurice, the aerial DP, and said, hey, we're making another aviation movie. This time it's a true story about naval aviators, and we want the Top Gun, you know, touch on it. We want real flying, practical stunts. Can we do this with real Corsairs and real MiGs? Can we pull this together? And, of course, for me, it's 100% you can. It just takes money and time, right? So we did that. We brought a great team together. Ericsson Aircraft brought in Corsairs and Sky Raiders, Planes of Fame, Steve-O and Steve Hinton, brought in MiG-15 and a lot of other great aircraft, another Corsair. And we made a real, you know, period correct movie with authentic aircraft and authentic flying and flew them, mind you, in the snow and ice and in conditions we wouldn't necessarily want to bring warbirds these days. It's mm-hmm. pretty fun.
Wow. Kevin, do you go outside of the U.S.? Do you do work internationally?
Oh, yeah. No, we go worldwide. I mean, a couple years ago, we were in Saudi Arabia doing a big feature film. We've been in Africa and Morocco a bunch. I just worked on The Gray Man, which is streaming on Netflix. We were in Europe and Croatia and Italy. So, yeah, we're worldwide.
And your schedule, is it booked out for a while?
It's pretty busy these days.
You know what you're doing?
That's one thing with the movies, you know, business is it's hard to plan anything. We always joke, you know, if you want to get a job, just try to plan a vacation and that's where the job's going to try to book. So don't really have a lot of flexibility there, but it's worth it because, you know, we have a passion for it.
I can remember from my flight instructing days that I was jumping in and out of different airplanes. What is it like for you to maintain currency so that you feel like you can perform at your highest with all these different airplanes you're
I on? Feel like I spend a fortune every year in training. It's, you know, it's kind of my job and up to me to train in all these different platforms, and I try to pick the ones that I use most. I can't do them all. So typically that's the Black Hawk and the Bells and the Airbus. So all that's factory training. The L-39, I go to Jet Orbit Training Center. So I try to train in all these, and I also work with flight safety. So constantly trying to do at least yearly currency on the main platforms I fly, and my business manager is constantly yelling at me because it costs a fortune. But it's, as you know, we're all pilots. You have to be proficient.
Absolutely. I mean, with what you're doing and the responsibilities that you have, currency is not enough. It's really proficiency, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
What's your competition?
So I'd say there's about 10 individuals in the world who do what I do. And I have a massive amount of respect for all of them. A lot of them are idols or people I look up to, my dad being, you know, one of those people. I, from a young age, wanted to be an aerial coordinator and a motion picture pilot who did jet, helicopter, airplane. And I feel like there's probably only two or three of us in the world that do all of those platforms. And I felt like that was important. Just, you know, the similarities that you get at production, you know, if I'm flying a jet with a camera in the same movie, I'm going to take that same look and feel and style of flying into the helicopter. And I like being able to do both.
Quickly, I want to ask you, how does the legend of Art Scholl hang over your particular industry?
I think the best thing to say, I mean, he was a legend and an incredible pilot. But just like anything in aviation, when something goes wrong, it's hard to look at, but we have to look at those things so we don't make those same mistakes. And I think we do that with everything. When we approach a feature or anything, we try to learn from past incidents so they're not recreated. We try to learn from our never again moments. We all know those as pilots, and we say, I'm never doing that again. So in reference to Art Scholl, I think it's just something that we're aware of and we have to respect and keep a watch out for.
Kevin, thanks very much for joining us.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Our guest has been Kevin LaRosa II. He's a Hollywood stunt pilot and aerial coordinator. You're listening to EAA Radio.